It's all good with Jesus. I'm so very excited. I've done it. After years of trying, I have finally found the meaning of life. It's on page 937 of the dictionary between the words lie and lifeboat. Did you know that? Does my life matter? Do I make a difference? And if so, how? I suspect we all struggle with these kinds of questions or questions like them. I'm pretty sure that at some level they are the kind of questions that always kind of stick with us. And we don't just want someone else to say yes to those questions. We want to be able to say yes for ourselves. I think that's part of the reason that we are so busy. We're trying to show to the world around us, and maybe to ourselves especially, that our life does matter. That we do make a difference, and so we keep busy. It's often the unstated, maybe even the unknown reason why, especially when we are young and developing our careers, that we work so hard. We've got to prove ourselves. We've got to acquire. We've got to achieve, because we want to make sure that people know, and more importantly, that we know that our lives matter and we've made a difference. And we've probably all had times when we've looked back at our lives, maybe when the kids move out, or maybe when we, I hate to say it, retire today, and we ask ourselves what we've done and whether we've made a difference in this world. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a retirement home or a nursing home, and someone has said to me, I'm just ready to go. I don't want to be here. I don't understand what God is doing. Why am I still here? I can't help but wonder if what they're really asking is whether their life still matters. And what difference does it make to others whether they are there or not? Are they of any value? Regardless of when and how those questions come up, I think they are grounded in a deep longing and a great desire for the abundance of life. We want to be an abundant people. We want to live an abundant life. Today's gospel that I read for you begins at verse 11, but I want to go back and read the verse right before it, because there Jesus says something very important. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That verse, believe it or not, is right in the middle of what has been called the Good Shepherd Discourse of John's Gospel. Jesus' statement about bringing abundant life is kind of the hinge of these two parts of the chapter. Believe it or not, last year about Easter time, we looked at the first half of this chapter. Jesus' statement about bringing life was the conclusion to that first part. It was the ending point, if you like. Abundant life was the goal. Today, his statement means that abundant life is the beginning. It's his purpose statement, if you like. It underlines everything he will say today and maybe to you the rest of your life. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And that sets the tone for the telling of today's story about the good shepherd, the hired hand, the sheep, and the wolf. And so I want us to look at those four images in relationship to abundance. Where do you experience abundance in your life, and what does it look like? What does abundance mean for you? What does it feel like when you live apart or are distant from abundance? And I'm not talking about abundance in terms of quantity. Let's get that right out in front. This is not about quantity. Abundance is about the quality of life. It's a way of being. Now, all of us can tell stories of a time in our lives where there was something we wanted, and we worked very hard for it, and we waited a long time, and when we finally got that thing that we wanted, and once we had it, it didn't do what we thought it was going to do for us, at least emotionally. It didn't fill us up. It didn't fulfill our lives. It didn't satisfy. We got what we wanted, but we didn't have any abundance. Abundance is that quality of life that lets us touch the deepest parts of ourselves. It connects us with the divine, with the holy, and with what's good and true and beautiful in this world. It's not so much about getting something we don't have. That's important. But living more fully into what is already present in our lives. So that abundance is love that needs to love. It's joy that leads to joy. It's peace that leads to peace. It's kindness that leads to kindness. It's stepping more deeply and more fully into our own life and into the lives of others. It never, ever adds pain to this world. Abundance is Jesus' way of being in this world. It's what he demonstrated. It is the presence of God lived through your life and my life. So what if we took these four images in today's gospel, the good shepherd, the sheep, the hired hand, and the wolf, and consider them as kind of like a lens to which we can see abundance. They are windows into the abundant life. Now, when you hear about the good shepherd, who do you think of? Jesus, right? And that's the usual answer, and it's the correct answer. And I'm not here to dispute that it is Jesus, but I'm wondering if it could be more than just Jesus. Could you and I be good shepherds? Could I be a good shepherd to someone? And so I wonder, who has been a good shepherd in your life? I don't ask those questions to take away from Jesus, not at all, but to expand, to enlarge, to extend his presence beyond what we thought possible. Just think about Psalm 23, that famous psalm about the shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd leads and guides. The shepherd revives. The shepherd protects. The shepherd as a companion. The shepherd nourishes and feeds. The shepherd sets a table of welcome and hospitality in the most difficult places of life. When have you experienced that in your life? Have you ever had someone who has guided you in life? Have you someone ever set a table for you and welcomed you in the midst of terrifying and troubling times? Who has fed and nourished your soul? Have you ever had someone be your companion and walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death? Were they not good shepherds to you? Have you ever had someone say or do just the right thing and he or she has revived your soul when you just couldn't do it for yourself? Or how about those times you did those things for someone else? It was you that set the table. It was you who was the guide. It was you who was the companion. It was you who was the reviver. You were the good shepherd. I think this is happening in all sorts of ways. It happens when we're a parent, certainly. It happens when we love our spouse. It happens when we care for a sick or a dying friend, parent, or spouse. It happens when someone shows up and says to us, "Can I talk to you about my life? I want to tell you what's going on." And they ask us to be their shepherd. It happens when we go to another and say, "You know, let me tell you what happened to me. I can't make sense of this." And we ask him or her to be the shepherd for us. Here's the thing. The shepherd, regardless of who it is always leading to abundance. The shepherd is always leading to green pastures, to the still waters, to the table that is set, and to the cup that is overflowing. It is always about getting to that place of abundance. Always. But if not as if abundance wasn't already there, it was there. It's always been there. It's been right before us the whole time. But sometimes we need someone to just help us see it, experience it, point to it, to show us that we're already there and remind us of what's really important. I'm betting every one of you has shepherded someone else, and that there have been times in your life when someone else has shepherded you. So what about the sheep? Who are the sheep typically thought of to be in the scriptures? And that's right, us. Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. He leads. We follow. That's how it's supposed to work. And that's right. I've got nothing against that. But again, I want us to expand that image, to enlarge it, to make it like a window, as I said, a window in which we might see the abundance we have in life. So what if the sheep are the things that really matter? The things that have ultimate value in this world? What if the sheep are the things entrusted to us and that we entrust to others? Think about sheep as your parenting, your grandparenting, your loving of others, your friendships, your marriage, your teaching, your hopes, your dreams, your losses, your sorrows, your fears. We've all got them. We've all entrusted those things into the hands and the life of another person. And we've also been entrusted with those things by someone else. Someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm really struggling in my marriage. Can I tell you what's going on? They're a sheep looking for the shepherd's guidance. Or you go to someone and you say, I don't know what to do with my kid. I don't know how to get through this tough spot in my life. I need some courage. I need some hope. You are the sheep looking for a shepherd. There's something about sheep that's abundant. It's their vulnerability. It's their honesty. It's the way they hope. They are full and whole and life-giving. It's why they matter. Why we care for them. It's why we receive that entrustment with great respect and honor. Jesus contrasts the good shepherd then with the hired hand. The hired hand, he says, does not own the sheep and therefore does not really care for the sheep at all. For the good shepherd, the sheep are the goal and the reason for everything that the shepherd does. The sheep are everything to that good shepherd. For the hired hand, however, they're just a means to an end. The hired hand goes and punches the clock and shows up to receive his or her wages. When the shift's over, she is gone. He takes off. It's done for the day. If things get too difficult for the hired hand, too scary, too risky, too wolfy, the hired hand takes off and runs away. The hired hand lives by quantity, not abundance. And probably every one of you could tell a story about a hired hand in your life. Someone who, when you needed him or her the most, ran out and left you. Who have been the hired hands in your life? There is another side to that question that is equally, if not more, painful, though. It asks us to look at our own lives and the times when we have been the hired hand to someone else. Times when she or he needed us and we've just ran out on them. Hired hands stay only as long as the wages are good, as long as they're getting something out of it. The hired hand either refuses to see or can't see the abundance that is already there. She or he trades abundance for gain, for wages, for wealth, whatever. In what ways have you experienced the hired hand in your life? In what ways have you been the hired hand in someone's life? Where there's a hired hand, there's almost always a wolf. Wolves, Jesus says, snatch and scatter. Wolves devour life. They destroy abundance. They carry it off. And wolves come in all kinds of shapes and sizes in our world today. Sometimes it's the wolf of busyness. It's the wolf of achievement. It's the wolf of needing approval or the wolf of having to be right and in control. Sometimes it's the wolf of fear, a wolf of anger or resentment. Or maybe it's the wolf of failure, the wolf of despair, the wolf of brokenness. So what wolves are you dealing with in your life today? How have these wolves snatched and scattered the abundance or the abundance of someone else that you care about? In some ways, Jesus is taking these four images and using them to paint a picture of abundance in our lives. If we let them, if we look through these images, not just at them, these images all point to the abundant life that Jesus is bringing and he is offering to us. It's kind of easy to see the Good Shepherd and the sheep as images of abundance. I get that. They point to what is. But what about the hired hand and the wolf? Well, they might be a little more difficult to get a picture through, but they point to abundance, but in a different way. They point to what is not there. They remind us of what's been lost, what's been carried away from us, what's abandoned. It is not as if the abundance was never there or never to be regained again. It's just gotten lost. It's been scattered. It's been forgotten. What do you see when you look through these windows into your life? Where's the abundance? What matters about you and your life? How might these images help you to make a difference? To live the abundant life, what will you do with what you see through these windows I've just shown you? I can't tell you what to do. A couple of days ago, and it's happened many times in my life, someone has come up to me and said, I just want some answers. Give me some answers. And I've said to their chagrin, I don't have answers. I have no answers for you and I don't have them for me. I'm not offering these four images to you as answers, but simply as invitations to open your eyes and see what is. That's all Jesus is really doing with this story. He doesn't give any answers here either. He says, you've got a good shepherd. There's sheep, there's wolves, and there's hired hands all around you. But he never really says what we're to do with that. It's almost as if he's saying, I want you to look at your life and begin to work it out. Make sense of it for yourself. There's not one right answer. There is only each of us working it out in our own lives. That becomes even more clear when we step back from today's gospel and see where it sits in the sequence of the stories of the Gospel of John. Sometimes it's helpful and it's quite insightful to look at where the gospel story falls in relationship to what comes before it and what comes after it. Immediately before this passage in the gospel, Jesus heals a man who was born blind at birth. He opens his eyes. There is new ceiling. There's seeing. There is new vision. There is new insight. And then Jesus tells the good shepherd story right there. And after the good shepherd story, the next big thing is what? He raises Lazarus from the dead. Wow. You see what's happening here? Do you see the sequence? Restored sight, the good shepherd, new life. Jesus is saying that we've got to open our eyes. We've got to see. We've got to look at the image to step through them into the new life that he's bringing us. The abundant life he is offering us. So what are you going to do with these four images today? You've got to know that we are never just one of them. We're all of them. There are all parts of us, pieces of our lives, ways that we have been and experienced as we have. Every one of us could tell a story when we were the good shepherd. And we guided and we protected and we nourished. And we could tell a story how just 10 minutes later we were the hired hand and we ran out. We could talk about the sheep that matter and are so valuable, and we could tell stories about how the wolf came in and devoured and snatched and scattered. It would be easy to divide this gospel into good characters and bad characters. Don't do that. Let's just hear this story as information about our lives, about making a judgment or without making a judgment or a conclusion. But simply as an opening to the abundant life. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It's his starting point. It's his goal. Abundant life is Jesus' promise to each of us.